तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि सा च मे न प्रणश्यति यो मां पश्यति सर्वत्र सर्वं च मयि पश्यति तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि सत्यमे न प्रणश्यति यो मां पश्यति सर्वत्र सर्वं च मयि पश्यति तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि न मे न प्रणश्यति 6:30 यो मां पश्यति सर्वत्र सर्वं च मयि पश्यति तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि सा च मे न प्रणश्यति यो मां पश्यति सर्वत्र सर्वं च मयि पश्यति तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि सच्चा मे न प्रणश्यति या whoever mom me pashyati sees sarvatra everywhere sarvam everything cha and mayi in me pashyati sees tasha for him aham I na not pranashami I'm lost sa he cha also me to me na nor pranashati is lost translation for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me I am never lost nor is he ever lost to me purport a person in krishna consciousness certainly sees lord krishna everywhere and he sees everything in krishna such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature but in each and every instance he is conscious of krishna knowing that everything is a manifestation of krishna's energy Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. If you just count how many times Prabhupada's written the word Krishna in one paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Prabhupada's Krishna conscious. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of sight of the devotee. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva ritayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintakuna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami I worship the primeval lord Govinda who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love he is seen in his eternal form of shama sundar situated within the heart of the devotee At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi, who sees the Lord as Paramatma within the heart, the same applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee and cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakritatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vidamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptara Kanchana Gorangi Rate Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're in chapter 6, which is called the An Yoga, and sometimes it's referred to as Astanga Yoga. What does it say in your book? Which book does it say Astanga Yoga? Is it the Dutch one? So this is what Krishna is explaining in this chapter. The eightfold process of Astanga Yoga, Yam, Niyam, Asan. Pranayama, Prachahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. So first they have the rules and the regulations, the do's and the don'ts. Then they have the asanas, the sitting postures. And then Pranayama is the breathing exercises. Prachahara is the sense control, withdrawing the senses. And then Dharan is concentration. And Dhyan is meditation. And then Samadhi is full absorption. So at the beginning of the chapter, Krishna was describing the beginning of the yoga process, the beginning of the yoga ladder, that the yogi works, or the person works, but is detached from the fruits of the work. Not attached to the results. And then the later verses was about equilibrium, seeing everything equally, pebbles, stones, gold, an even higher stage, seeing friends and enemies equally, whether someone's wishing you well or not, equilibrium in mind, controlling the mind and senses. So the goal of all this is to be detached from the world. The yogi wants to be detached from the world. And then they give up work, and then at the advanced stage, the top that they can reach is that they meditate on the Lord in the heart, and they can actually see Paramatma in the heart. So these verses are now describing the top stage. So yesterday, Madhu Gopa was talking about a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. So that's what the yogi sees, and today is the benefits of seeing Krishna in all beings and seeing all beings in Krishna. And the benefit is that he's never lost. Krishna's never lost from sight, and the devotee's also never lost. So at the end of the purport, it's saying that a devotee cannot bear to live without, for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Who was it who saw the Lord in the forest? Little boy? Dhruva? And he just saw him for once, and then he disappeared. And then Dhruva was trying to see again and again, wanting to see that form of the Lord again. So how to see Krishna everywhere? One way to do it is to see everything as Krishna's energy. It's either spiritual or it's material, but it's Krishna's energy. And everything that moves, everything that lives, is a being, a living being. And Krishna's in the heart of that person, animal, even the plants, the trees. Krishna's in their heart as well. And if you really see all the animals and insects even as living beings with Krishna in the heart, then you start treating them differently. You stop eating them just because they taste nice. Stop killing them unnecessarily. As children, they don't understand that this is a living being. They think, oh, it's just a thing, and they, you know, just kill unnecessarily little animals and insects, worms, snails, things like this. But then later when you realize that actually I am a soul, he is also a soul, alone, just his body is different. And even dogs and cats, you start being a little more respectful. That it's just his body is different. He has a dog body or a cat body. Even in Mayapur, I was just standing on the road and someone was mistreating a dog. And I was thinking, oh, the dog was making squeaky noises. How they do when they get hit. And I was thinking, doesn't he realize this is a living being? Just his body is different. That he should heavily punish a dog for some small thing. When we get guests here, we do a tour. Sometimes we talk about vegetarianism, and they don't have any clue about that animals have a soul, or that their life is as valuable to them as our life is to us. Sharadiya Ras was talking about in her class about the way people kill other people is by making them into objects. And that's how people kill animals as well, by making them into objects, thinking of them as an object. Going into a restaurant and choosing a lobster, even though you can see it's moving and living, but thinking of it as an object to be eaten. Even one farmer said to me, attaching personalities to a dumb animal. And I'm thinking, you're a farmer. You have cows all the time. You think they're dumb animals? He was just like cutting off his emotions. Thought that they were just dumb animals. But if someone has a dog or a cat or a pet, then he knows that that little animal has a personality. You can even have two dogs or two cats, and one is like this and the other one's like that. One likes this and the other one likes that. One you can pick up and the other one doesn't want to be touched. So then you start treating other living beings differently when you realize, oh, it's actually a living being and Krishna's in their heart. They have as much right to live as I do. I wanted to read something about seeing Krishna everywhere. So I chose something from Krishna book. And it was the gopis. Krishna is hiding from the gopis. And this is how they act. So it's before the Ras dance. Krishna's been playing his flute and all these gopis have left home and gone into the forest to be with Krishna. But because they became a little proud, he disappeared. And then this is what happens after he disappeared. Chapter 30, Krishna's hiding from the gopis. When Krishna suddenly disappeared from the company of the gopis, they began to search for him everywhere. And not finding him anywhere, they became afraid and almost mad after him. They were simply thinking of the pastimes of Krishna in great love and affection. Being absorbed in thought of him, they experienced loss of memory, and with dampened eyes, they began to see the very pastimes of Krishna, his beautiful talks with them, his embraces, kissing, and other activities. Being so attracted to Krishna, they imitated his dancing, his walking, and his smiling, as if they themselves were Krishna. Due to Krishna's absence, they all became crazy. Each one of them told the others that she was Krishna himself. Soon they all assembled together and chanted Krishna's name very loudly as they moved from one part of the forest to another, searching for him. Actually, Krishna is all pervasive. He is in the sky, he is in the forest, he is within the heart, and he is always everywhere. The gopis therefore began to question the trees and plants about Krishna. There were various types of big trees and small plants in the forest, and the gopis addressed them, "Dear banyan tree, have you seen the son of Maharaj Nanda passing this way, laughing and playing on his flute? He has stolen our hearts and gone away. If you have seen him, kindly inform us which way he has gone. Dear Ashoka tree, dear Naga flower tree, and Champaka flower tree, have you seen the younger brother of Balaram pass this way? He has disappeared because of our pride." The gopis were aware of the reason for Krishna's sudden disappearance. They could understand that they had been enjoying Krishna, that when they had been enjoying Krishna, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate women in the universe. And since they were feeling proud, Krishna had disappeared immediately, just to curb their pride. Krishna does not like his devotees to be proud of their service to him. He accepts everyone's service, but he does not like one devotee to proudly consider himself better than others. If sometimes there are such feelings, Krishna ends them by changing his attitude towards the devotee. The gopis then addressed the tulsi plants. "Dear Tulsi, you are very much beloved by Lord Krishna because your leaves are always at his lotus feet. Dear Malati flower, dear Malika flower, dear Jasmine flower, all of you must have been touched by Krishna while he was passing this way. After giving us transcendental enjoyment, have you seen Madhava passing this way? O mango trees, O trees of jackfruit, O pear trees and asana trees, O blackberries and bale trees, and trees of the Kadamba flower, you are all very pious trees to be living on the bank of the Jamuna. Krishna must have passed through this way. Will you kindly let us know which way he has gone?" The gopis then looked upon the ground they were traversing and began to address the earth. "Dear earthly planet, we do not know how many penances and austerities you must have undergone to be now living with the footprints of Lord Krishna upon you. You are very jolly. The hairs on your body are these jubilant trees and plants. Lord Krishna must have been very pleased with you, otherwise how would he have embraced you in the form of Varaha the boar? When you were submerged in water, he delivered you, taking the whole weight of your existence on his tusks." After addressing the innumerable trees and plants and the earth, they turned their faces towards the beautiful deer, who were looking at them very pleasingly. "It appears," they addressed the deer, "that Krishna, who is the Supreme Narayan himself, must have passed through this way along with his companion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Otherwise, how is it possible that the aroma of his garland, which is smeared with the red kumkum from the breasts of the goddess of fortune, can be perceived in the breeze blowing here? It appears that they must have passed through here and touched your bodies, and thus you are feeling so pleasant, and you are looking towards us with sympathy. Will you kindly therefore inform us which way Krishna has gone? Krishna is the well-wisher of Vrindavan. He is as kind to you as he is to us. Therefore, after leaving us, he must have been present in your company. Oh, fortunate trees, we are thinking of Krishna, the younger brother of Balaram. While passing through here with one hand resting on the shoulder of the goddess of fortune and the other hand twirling a lotus flower, he must have been very pleased to accept your obeisances, and he must have glanced at you with great pleasure." Some of the gopis then addressed their gopi friends. "Dear friends, why don't you question these creepers who are so jubilantly embracing the big trees as if the trees were their husbands. It appears that the flowers of the creepers must have been touched by the nails of Krishna. Otherwise, how could they feel so jubilant? So that's how they're walking through the forest, talking to all the plants and animals and trees, and to each other. They're seeing everything in a very personal way. It's different how people here walk through the forest. They're seeing it different than we see it. Has anyone got anything to add? I'll read the verse again. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. But they're here. They're not even in the spiritual world. Well, the trees are not talking back. They became afraid and almost mad after him. They were simply thinking of the pastimes of Krishna with great love and affection. They became almost mad after him. It's not that it's mad behavior to think of the trees as personalities and the plants and the animals. It's not mad to see trees and plants and animals as personalities, as living beings with souls. But they were almost mad after Krishna. Even though he wasn't there, he was always in their thoughts. Now, at this time of the year, how can we see it in our life? At this time of year, one very obvious way to see Krishna's presence is to see the miracles that he's performing. The seeds are sprouting, the plants are growing. Out of a bud, a whole bunch of leaves is growing. And this is the miracle that we can see in the springtime. And this is the miracle that Krishna is producing. And if we're out in the evenings, we can see the sunset, how he nicely decorates the sky. And he never does the same twice. He paints the sky in the evenings, but he never makes the same painting twice. Occasionally some aeroplanes come and graffiti all over it, but aeroplanes, they come and put some graffiti on it. Then these white lines. Yeah. So at this time of year, we can see Krishna in nature very nicely. All his miracles. There was one lady who had, she was talking about ladies having babies as also being a miracle. That the birth of a baby, she was saying, is when you have a little baby in your hands, newly born, then you think, wow, this is a miracle. Some more thoughts? For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Prabhupada was saying that Krishna consciousness is even beyond self-realization. Self-realization, realizing that I'm a spirit soul, I'm not the body. Realizing that there's a God, but doing devotional service, that's even higher. Even though the yogi will become happy by seeing the Lord in the heart. Dhyan, dharan, concentration, meditation. It's so that there, at the end of chapter 5, in the last purport, Prabhupada mentions this, yam, niyam, asan, the do's and don'ts, the asans, pranayam, the breathing. The yogis see the four-armed Vishnu, but devotees see Shyamasundara, Radha Krishna. This is Brahma's prayer. He's praying to Shyamasundara, Govinda Manipurisham. So he's seeing Shyamasundara. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda. He is seen in his eternal form as Shyamasundara. But this is for devotees, huh? I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form as Shyamasundara. So when the devotees are in this mood of love, then they see Shyamasundara. But the yogis, they will see four-armed Vishnu. With Radharani and his entourage. With Radharani and his entourage. He's not just there in his own. Krishna's never alone. He's in the heart with Radharani and his associates. Yeah, yeah. So let's join the gopis in some chanting of Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Bhagavad Gita ki jai.